dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation where we explore the subject of covenants and what this means for us today. And this is part one. Let's pray. God of all glory, by the wisdom of your word and the pouring out of your spirit, as we apply ourselves to this subject, let the same mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is more of a launching pad for the subject than it is a text to be investigated in detail, at least for the time being. And so we read from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 to 34, and I'm reading from the NIV. "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more, just to there." And may God bless his word to us today and always. As I said, our text is more of a launching pad for this subject, and it is probably one of the clearest prophetic signposts pointing to the incarnation of Jesus of Nazareth and the work he would do to bring about what we may call the final covenant, or what one author, O.P. Robertson, refers to as the covenant of consummation. The covenant that will bring to fulfillment and finalization all the hopes that are raised in God's word. And since it is talked of as the final covenant, there is the implication that there are other covenants recorded in the Bible, and also that there will be no other covenants beyond that. And so those covenants will also be part of our journey as we consider the topic of covenants. Covenant implies two parties, or two individuals or groups, and in the Bible it has to do with God and his creation, which has always involved people, collectively as humankind, or with individuals, or families, or nations. Scripture is, at the end of the day, God's covenant document with his people. Thus, the concept of covenant is the backdrop against which we understand the scriptures. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for covenant is always berith. Some scholars feel that the word covenant in the Old Testament derives from the Assyrian word beritu, meaning to bind. This immediately points to the covenant as a bond. Others, however, see the word berith as a word derived from the Hebrew word bara, meaning to cut, so to cut a covenant. And this is more in line with what we understand in the Bible. And where this idea features prominently is in Genesis chapter 15, verse 2 through to 20. As we read this passage, we know at this point in the journey with God, Abraham was still without any children, and it was an issue of great concern and stress for him. And so let's read from verse 2 onwards. "But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens, and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And Abram believed the Lord, and he, that is God, credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. And then we go on to verse 17. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking firepot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. And of course, this was God doing that. Verse 18, on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. So when we read in our final verse in verse 18, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abram to give to his descendants the land which would ultimately be the land the Israelites would settle in, the Hebrew here for made a covenant is cut a covenant. So now let's look at what may be considered a good definition of a divine covenant. It has been defined by one author as a bond in blood sovereignly administered, meaning sovereignly administered by God. And so it is a bond which bound participating parties together, under terms defined through words, sometimes combined with symbolic action. And those who entered into covenant were committed to it on pain of death. The notion of it being a bond sovereignly administered means it is initiated by God alone, with terms and conditions declared or set by Him. This is not hard, for we find out that God's conditions never deprive us of anything good. Instead, they are life-giving for those who walk by faith in that covenant. And so in closing, what we find throughout Scripture is this. God is a covenant-keeping God, and as we read the Bible, we will discover that against this backdrop of covenant, the Scriptures make a great deal more sense, and interpreting people's words and actions becomes clearer as one understands the covenant in the background. One also understands that our lives as Christians are bound to a covenant that is far-reaching in its outworking, and it's not just a thing that we get to at a very personal one-on-one level. But God draws us into His movements and plans that span time and space and everything in it, making us partners with Him in the gospel through Jesus Christ. And hopefully, we will see how, with covenant as the framework or backdrop against which we read the Bible, things will be easier to understand. And so I trust that you will join me next time for part 2. Let us pray. O God, our Father, who faithfully keeps covenant with His called out people, we thank You that You are not like us, who are oftentimes fickle and prone to depart from our covenant written in the blood of Christ. Thank You that You are merciful and forgiving, enabling us by the power of Your Spirit to walk humbly before You. As we are mindful of Your grace, may others be drawn by our witness to Jesus, for we ask it in His name. Amen, and God bless you.